The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 141, entitled How to Use Nutrition to Improve Your Health, Relationships, and Happiness, I chat with the one and only Dr. John Gray. Dr. John Gray is the author of one of the most well-known and respected relationship books of all time, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And in today's episode, John talks about the connection between nutrition, things like hormone and neurotransmitter optimization, and how this deeply impacts just about everything you do in your life. He talks about how to improve your testosterone and dopamine levels naturally, and also how to overcome things like ADD, memory issues, low energy, and even Parkinson's disease. If you're wondering how to improve your health, relationships, and of course your happiness, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Hey, if you haven't signed up for the Elite Man newsletter yet, do yourself a huge favor and go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter right now and sign yourself up. The Elite Man newsletter is a badass newsletter full of our best tips, resources, strategies, and tactics for becoming the best man you can be in work, health, relationships, and in life. This includes exclusive articles, videos, bonuses, and podcast information not seen nor heard anywhere else. And I write all of these emails personally. I'm in charge of the newsletter. You're not going to get some Joe Schmo sending you random advice or some VA overseas who can, you know, hardly speak English. This is me personally sending you my best tips, strategies, and tactics for becoming the best man you can be. Sign up now at elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and I will talk to you on the inside. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is John Gray, the famous author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. John, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you. A real pleasure.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of your work, as I mentioned to you a couple moments ago. I love the book, the first book you came out with. You've since come out with many other books as well, and I find it fascinating that you've kind of dove into the health space as well. So it's not just relationships, and actually my background is a lot of the listeners on the show know is a dating background. I come from helping guys, you know, get better dating skills and improve their chances with women, that kind of thing. So it's fascinating to see the transition, you know, the one you've kind of undergone as well, from like expanding that, as you know, opposed to just sticking with relationships.
Yeah, well, it's so important. You can't sustain a good relationship if you don't have the right nutrition for your brain and for your body. You just don't make the hormones. Men don't make the testosterone. Women don't make the estrogen and progesterone. And our stress levels are higher. And when our stress levels are higher, which is stress hormone is higher, it interferes with good communication, interferes with focus. You know, for a guy, it used to be for me before I got on the bandwagon of mental health, healthy wellness of the brain. You know, I used to get impatient. Even though I wrote all these books, still it's hard to listen to my wife. It'd be easy to get defensive. The mind would loop a little bit. Same thing for women. You know, women would become overwhelmed. My wife used to get really overwhelmed by stuff, need to talk a long time about it. So that got shorter and less overwhelmed. So it's about finding the balance of, you know, relationships, mind, and nutrition. Very important.
Yeah, and I think the more research that goes into the hormone levels and the balance in different neurotransmitters and chemicals in the brain, it's just fascinating how powerful an effect it has on your mood and your relationships and your day-to-day work. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Mark Gordon who's
an endocrinologist, and he's helped like professional boxers with low testosterone levels correcting their hormone levels and getting them back to life. He's also he works with a lot of vets. He worked with another vet by the name of a Green Beret by the name of Andrew Marr, who was suicidal, very depressed, had a lot of emotional problems. Just by correcting some of his hormone levels and getting them back to optimal function, he's like completely changed the guy's life, and he's doing it regularly. So like I said, man, it's just fascinating, the connection between mind and hormones, and then of course emotions and relationships.
Well, you know, when we look at relationships, mood is everything. I mean, you come home to a partner who's in a bad mood or low energy, it's a bummer. It's as simple as that. You know, you don't have the energy, whether you don't have the energy, your partner doesn't have the energy. It's just, it doesn't create a fertile ground for love to grow. And you kind of go, well, gee, were we unhealthy when we started this relationship? You could have been. What happens is in the beginning of a relationship, in the dating stage, because there's challenge and there's newness, for both men and women, their hormone levels go to extremely high levels. Newness stimulates dopamine. A little danger stimulates dopamine. The anticipation of sex stimulates dopamine with a new partner. So you get this high level of dopamine that for most men, it will trigger doubling your testosterone levels, just that. You'll see older men whose wives die and then they start dating younger women. Their testosterone levels soar just from that. You know, estrogen levels in women, when they're experiencing a newness, a challenge, a new stimulation, that raises dopamine. That will increase their estrogen. And for women to be hormonally sexual, to experience orgasm, to experience arousal, show interest in sex, their hormones, their estrogen levels have to be twice as high as they normally are when they're not turned on. I mean, so there needs to be a lot of estrogen production in women and a lot of testosterone production in men. And that really changes the mood in our relationships. But beyond that, it's a real foundation of really good health. But that what we think, the nutrition in our brain, that also directly affects our hormones. So it's a double, you know, it's a two-way street. Our hormones affect our mind and our mood and our behaviors, but our mind and our mood and our behavior affect our hormones. So you can't just look at one side. You got to look at the whole picture eventually.
Yeah, and I know dopamine is such a big part of like this whole equation. I'm curious, is there any ways to check your dopamine levels? Like, I mean, is there a way to test to see if your dopamine levels are low and maybe you need to kind of supplement with something?
Well, basically, there are saliva tests. Some people say they're not accurate. A really accurate reading, you have to get a spinal tap for that way. That's why there's not a lot of easy testing on it, but you can do saliva tests, and some people do tests for that. But you have to realize that every minute of the day, your dopamine levels are changing. When you're feeling motivated, energized, your dopamine levels are up always. If you're feeling kind of bored, that's low dopamine function. There's a very interesting thing here. Any addiction is a result of low dopamine function. Addiction to porn is low dopamine function. So, you know, a lot of guys, they can't get it up with their girlfriend or their wife, but they can get it up with porn. And that's because porn has massive dopamine stimulation, which gives you a temporary rise of testosterone and interest in sex. And the reason for that is that porn is non-relational, meaning it's fantasy. It's not a real person. You're not touching someone. You have no real love for them. It's a fantasy. And when there's a fantasy, you just make dopamine as opposed to a lot of other hormones like oxytocin, which gets produced when you touch somebody. It gets produced when you have greater affection for someone, when you have a history with someone, then you're going to produce serotonin with them. And all of these things mediate dopamine production, keep it from going too high. So, I mean, it's always a balance of low testosterone, low dopamine, or too high dopamine. If you're married, for example, they already know. I mean, it's tested. You get married, your testosterone levels will begin to drop. If you have a baby, a child, or children, your testosterone will drop even more. And the reason for that, it doesn't mean they have to stay low. You can do things to compensate, which is what my work's all about. But your average male, we're just looking at the averages, their testosterone levels decrease anyway in this country for other reasons. But then you add that to marriage and having kids, they'll drop even more. because there in the body, you're always balancing testosterone and estrogen. Women need about 10 times more estrogen just to be happy than a man. And men need about 10 times to 20 times more testosterone just to be happy. 10 times more than a woman is what I mean. And then to be really turned on, it's got to rise up to 30, 40 times more than a woman. And for a woman, for her to have an orgasm, her estrogen levels have to double 20 times more than a man's. So this, it's like a seesaw. Testosterone goes up, estrogen goes down, estrogen goes up, testosterone goes down. They're counter forces, yin and yang. So now what happens is if I'm making love to my wife, because I love her, that stimulates estrogen. I'm touching her, that stimulates oxytocin, which lowers testosterone and increases estrogen. So I can feel love and affection and warmth and comfort. But that might drop my testosterone too low, and then I'm not even interested in having sex. And that's what happens to a lot of men who are familiar with their wives. There's a comfort they have with their wives. There's, you know what to expect, and that stimulates, you know, serotonin, but no dopamine, and that's boredom. So you start feeling bored in relationships. So it's, you know, relationships and hormones are very, very much tied in. If I come home and my wife is happy to see me with no complaints, guess what? My testosterone levels shoot up. And not only they shoot up, if she ignores me for a little while I watch the news or go to my cave, is what I talk about in Men Are From Mars, then they'll rebuild and I'll have really good testosterone levels. But if I come home to an unhappy wife who's complaining, nagging, whatever, any of that stuff will knock my testosterone down. And then when my body wants to go to cave time, it won't rebuild much testosterone. So you got to, when you go to your cave, everybody knows the cave now from Men Are From Mars. When a guy's in his cave, if he anticipates coming out to an unhappy woman, or if he's feeling my wife's unhappy with me taking my me time, my cave time, you won't make as much testosterone. So these behavior things I talk about in Men Are From Mars are really significant for our hormonal levels. Testosterone for men, and for women, it's the estrogen, which is, you know, if a woman has a, if you're planning a date, for example, 7 days in advance with a woman, her estrogen levels are going to rise in anticipation of that date, particularly if you schedule the date in the first 5 days after her period. That's when her estrogen levels now will start to double. So she's anticipating going on this date, the anticipation of being special, being the center of attention, being seen as beautiful, being desired, being cared for, that being a princess, so to speak. I mean, literally, that's what a date is. It's not like women require this all every day of the month. And if they do, there's a problem there. But they do require that sense of they're the center of everything. And we know that as guys. That's what we do when we go on a date. And guys that don't know that don't have happy wives. But it's, you know, this is the time to make her, in a sense, some people use the term goddess. You know, you love this woman. You're devoted to her, but you particularly show it during the 5 days around before ovulation. And that time, those 5 days start 5 days after her period. Then after ovulation, it's not so important that you know, make her the center of the world and everything. But if she doesn't get it during those 5 days, it's like she missed it. It's like you miss a day of eating. Then all you're going to think about the next day is, I didn't get enough. I didn't get enough. I need to eat more. I need to eat more. So it's there's an imbalance because we haven't really got this system down according to women's hormones. And it's more particular because women's hormones are already so far out of balance due to other environmental factors. And this is the case for both men and women, that the environmental factors, the GMOs, the glyphosate, which is the pesticide and Roundup and so forth, and the ripening agents they're putting on wheat since 1984, these things stimulate, they get into the body, they're toxins, but they also bind with estrogen receptor sites, overstimulating the brain with messages in a man's body. If it says to your brain, you've got lots of estrogen, actually for men, that blocks testosterone production. And for women, estrogen binds with the estrogen receptors, and that says to the brain, you've got plenty of estrogen, and therefore you don't need a man. You don't need love. You've already got it. And this is very confusing to women. All these younger women today, they don't think they need a relationship. Men aren't that important to them. In some cases, they go too far the other way. But basically, when a woman, when her body says, oh, I have plenty of estrogen, now basically she goes, I've you know, completed my task of being able to make a baby this month, and then she doesn't feel the need to be penetrated or have a partner simply because of this toxicity in her body, which isn't her body making estrogen. When a woman's body is making estrogen, she's feeling a great appreciation for a man, for the things in her life, for the support she has in her life. She feels love is when you're making it. But if your brain has already got the message, you've got it, you don't make it. And so that's the problem for women today. So they're extremely overwhelmed, they're stressed, they're unhappy. They're not able to feel full appreciation for what they have. And so what happens is they feel stressed out. And the stress hormone gets produced when women's estrogen levels are out of balance or when men's testosterone levels are out of balance. And when cortisol, the stress hormone, gets produced, it pushes our hormones further out of balances. When cortisol is being produced, it actually causes men's testosterone to turn into estrogen. Now you're making estrogen as a man. And if a woman is experiencing cortisol, her body's making testosterone as a defense, and she's not making estrogen. So cortisol not only inhibits blood flow to the front part of our brain where we can think rationally, reasonably, and with compassion and empathy, but when cortisol is being produced, it throws men too far to their female side, women too far to their male side. And so what that causes in women is a sense of detachment. I don't need men. I don't need love. And what it does for men is it throws us over into our emotions and we become overly emotional. When men are angry, you can measure it in their body. Their testosterone is turning into estrogen. When men are aggressive, it's the opposite of what people used to think. When men are aggressive, actually, it's their testosterone turning into estrogen. When men are experiencing anxiety and worry, it's their testosterone turning into estrogen. So, you know, what we have with this insight is new relationship skills, which I talk about in Beyond Mars and Venus, my most recent book, and some good supplements in there to help balance the hormones, as well as other books I've written, which are really important for us men. One's called Brain Focus, It's called Staying Focused in a Hyper World. And that's all about how to create enough dopamine so that it keeps your testosterone levels up. And then there's health books I've written, and you can find this online all over the place, is people with good detox programs. Basically, I just finished one. I feel fantastic. 2 days of just water and lemon. That's all I needed. That's the more austere version, but it's the most powerful, and doing a lot of exercise during that time. I'm like in heaven after that, but I had headaches and had some detox symptoms. I really was tired running, but you know, that's the best time to exercise is when you're fasting as opposed to sitting around lying down like a lot of people think. You want to push yourself to generate energy. Your body will sweat and detox and so forth, and then get a good rest afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of great information there, John. I want to break down a couple of things you mentioned. The first thing that comes to mind, though, is with the whole, I guess in this day and age, when women are working so much, you know, they're doing 40-hour jobs, or, you know, sometimes even more than that, up to like 80 hours if you're like a CEO type of, you know, exec woman. Is that good in a sense? Because like you said, when you're doing that much work, like typically, you know, back in the 50s or 60s, it was more like housewives and, you know, staying at home and nurturing the children. Is that more of like how the dynamic of relationships are supposed to work, in your opinion? Or do you think it's good that women are more active and kind of going out and doing all these extra jobs and working a lot more? Or do you think that kind of, you know, backfires in this day and age?
Well, it is backfiring, but I wouldn't say for the exact reasons we were just talking about. It's overworking doesn't work for men or women, and underworking doesn't work for men or women. You know, here's another irony. When women, you'll see this a lot with women who don't have to work, who don't work at all, and they don't have children. Or if they have children and they have nannies taking care of the children. So literally, they're not having to work. When a woman doesn't have to work and she's not working, her estrogen levels will actually go too high because she's so dependent on her partner and other people to do things. And that can cause hysteria. That used to be the term for women who are overwhelmed. Go take one step higher with the super high estrogen levels and low testosterone. Either they become hysterical or they become nymphomaniacs. Okay. Ironically, when estrogen levels shoot so high, in order to lower her estrogen back to a place where she's not hysterical, she will feel the need for sex because sex, you know, her body will start generating testosterone to bring her estrogen back into balance. And she'll do that either through chronic masturbation. She'll do that through through being a nymphomaniac, addicted to sex, and so forth. Up until 1950 in America, from 1900 to 1950, hysteria was a diagnosis, and the treatment for it for women was actually twice a week go to your doctor's office and be masturbated. It would bring you back into balance, some hormonal balance, because their estrogen levels were so high because they weren't going to work every day. So that's one case where it's really a great thing for women to go to work. The problem is, how do they get back to their female side to produce their female hormones? What's happened today is that women have gone too far to their male side. Their testosterone levels go up too much, which pushes their estrogen levels down. So we've created, you know, another imbalance. So in the whole key is balance in our lives, and too much women being in the workplace where she's not having a personal life. And it's not a matter of hours either, although certainly you can't have a relationship basically if you're working 80 hours a week. It just, there's no time to have a relationship. But to have a relationship, you work in the workplace, you have to have a personal life that you're looking forward to. That's what stimulates estrogen for women, even when they're in the workplace. You can almost simplify it down to work for money makes testosterone, work for love generates estrogen. And you know, the ideal is to work for money and love your work. Then that's really fantastic. That's sort of a hormonal balance. But the personal life is very, very important for both men and women. But for health and wellness and well-being and happiness, particularly for women, the personal life is more important. It's important for men, but it doesn't require so many needs. You know, a guy who comes home, if he knows his wife is happy, he doesn't need to interact with her, engage with her. He just needs regular sex. And to a certain extent, he's going to be a happy camper. But that's his needs. But he needs to work. He needs to work hard to make money and so forth. That's very important to keep his testosterone up. For a woman, making money is more about for her well-being, her survival and security, as well as to keep her estrogen from going too high. But she needs, when she goes into the workplace and now she's dependent on that money and spending lots and lots of hours doing it, she doesn't create enough time or a personal life in order to keep her estrogen levels up. And even the anticipation of coming home to a loving family, to personal life, to friends and support, that anticipation can help keep her estrogen up even when she's out in the world stimulating testosterone, working for money. So that's a dynamic for women, which I'm trying to help women understand how they can use men, use their relationships, use their personal life to stimulate the estrogen. And the problem that I encounter again and again in helping women, as well as with men, but a different reason for women, is that if they say, well, I don't feel like that, or that's hard to do. I mean, it's just hard to come back to feeling soft and sensitive and vulnerable and needing a man. They can't get back there. And the reason they can't is that there's a lot of reasons they can't. But the first reason is you don't feel like it. It's literally, you know, it's like a person who's addicted doesn't feel like giving up their drug. They want their drug. Once you're out of balance, you get addicted to being out of balance. You're falling the wrong direction, so to speak. It's really hard to fall back in the right direction. So it doesn't feel like I want to share or open up or be heard or to need a man or depend on a man, or I don't feel the need to do these, quote, girly things. I'm a strong, capable woman. You know, I'm not this sensitive, vulnerable, occasionally irrational, non-accountable woman. But that's what the emotional side is. That's what the estrogen side is has a lot of those qualities. And I'm never saying that a woman is just her estrogen side. She has always her masculine side and her feminine side. But what I do in my new book is I define those qualities and recognize that if you're way out of balance on one side, you got to go way out of balance on the other to find your midpoint. You know, if you're falling out of balance, you don't just come back right perfectly into balance. Nobody does. Walk on a tightrope. If you're going too far to the left, you got to go too far to the right and then find your midpoint. That's how we find balance. And yet for women who are too far on their male side, the last thing they want to do is go too far to their female side. They'd be totally embarrassed. They'd feel weak and needy and ugly and awful and undesirable. Oh, I don't want to go there. So what I have to do is teach them how to find a way to get to that place to then find their balance in a way that works for the man in their life and the relationship in their life. And the same thing for men is men have to find a way to deal with, they're basically we get over to our female side now, and actually having sex with a woman too far on her male side will put you on your female side if you're a man. It will make you lazy. It will make you passive and make you irritable. You just, because, you know, the nature of love is to join together. And if a woman's way on her male side, a man, in order to please her and connect with her, will go too far to his female side. Because that's one of the qualities of masculinity. We are here to serve the woman and make her happy and please her. We all feel great and fantastic when a woman is happy. And that's masculinity. It's provider. You know, we provide, we protect, we make women safe. You know, this is what we've always done. We give our lives for that. We have devotion to that, to, you know, to provide that. That's all masculinity. Masculinity, one of the qualities of it is sacrifice. You give up yourself for them, but then you also have your female side and you get what you need to as well. So the whole thing is balancing these two qualities of masculinity and femininity that reside within both men and women. And today our crisis is that there's a, what we've experienced now is an evolutionary shift back in the 60s that began pretty much for most people on this planet towards a psychological androgyny, which means that on a psychological level, I'm both masculine and feminine, or at least I have access to masculine and feminine. As our lives have become more civilized, cortisol levels, you know, allow our brain to lower because we're not in constant survival mode. What happens is the brain becomes more plastic and we're able to access both the masculine and feminine sides in our brain more easily. So a lot of gender confusion going on today, because it's always going to cause more stress if a man's masculinity is threatened. He'll go to his female side. And if a woman's femininity is at stake, is threatened or not supported, she'll go to her male side and start to think she's a guy and take on male behaviors, and guys will take on their female qualities. And, you know, this oversimplification of it is there's a lot of confusion going on with gender, but plus, you know, your basic guy, heterosexual guy, is going to be overly emotional these days, and your basic heterosexual woman is going to become less interested in men, too detached, then which swings back to her female side to find some balance. She's needy and demanding and controlling. So a lot of new relationship struggles and challenges and problems. Divorce is much higher than it's ever been. Dissatisfaction relationship is greater. People aren't getting married. People are trying to throw out the whole idea of marriage, as if, you know, there's some antiquated idea, when actually marriage is a, you know, very high aspiration for two people to sustain being in love and to grow in love. It's one of the most powerful things to do if you can do it. But most people can't today. They either live a life of boredom and mediocrity together, or, you know, they have passion, they lose the passion, they find somebody else for passion. To stay together and stay passionate, we need new relationship skills. And not only do we need the new relationship skills I talk about in my book, Beyond Mars and Venus, we need good nutrition, because we're constantly being invaded by toxicity and low nutrition in our food. You've got to take supplements. You've got to do cleansing. You've got to have better new relationship skills, or I don't think there's hope if you want your dreams to come true.
Yeah, and is that primarily what the new book is all about, is kind of combining, you know, the work you did, I guess, hands-on 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when you kind of, you know, started doing this stuff, with, like, the research that has come out, that to actually sort of confirm what you thought you knew or knew but didn't have, like, the science to back it up before? Is, like, the science, is that kind of aspect of it, the health side, is that what the new book's about?
Well, several new books. One, Staying Focused in a Hyper World, Improving Brain Function. That's all about the nutrition and the science of that and the way our brain works. But the most recent one, which is Beyond Mars and Venus, is about how relationships affect our hormones, how hormones affect our relationships, how hormones affect the brain, how brain affects the hormones. So that's more bringing in that whole hormonal part. And yes, what you said is really fun for me, because 40 years ago, my message was very controversial. People say, oh, you're just wrong. You know, I said, no, you're wrong. It's as simple as that. Open your eyes. The emperor has no clothes. Of course, men and women are different. And let's try to understand those differences in a positive way to nurture and support our partners. Then what came in is all this wonderful brain research, and I think that validated all my ideas. And I wrote books on that. And then, you know, there's a big backlash on that, where people try to call it junk science, and it's not. The most reputable universities in the world all talk about the massive brain differences between men and women. But still, there's a backlash, and you know, feminists are saying that all the brain research is all junk science. And certainly anything coming to the brain is highly complicated and so forth. However, what's very simple and basic is we know there's indisputable science backing up the differences between our well-being and our hormonal level balances. I mean, there's nobody can dispute those differences. I mean, they're just so obvious. Go get a test. So the medical field and the trying to promote the whole idea of taking hormones has done massive research for me to point out how many women are hormonally different. Nobody's done the research except me that I know of, talking about how our behaviors are actually the major factor for stimulating the right hormones, A, and B, of course, lack of nutrition and environmental toxicity. Other people are talking about how that affects hormones. Then when we get to actually solving the hormonal problem, you've got a $1 billion industry of giving people hormones. You're just mentioning the doctors giving men testosterone levels and so forth. Women are everywhere taking estrogen and progesterone and all these hormonal balances, menopausal, period problems, mood problems, depression problems, all come back to can sometimes be helped by taking hormones. However, it's a sometimes. Just keep that in mind. It's not everybody. There's horror stories of people who take hormones. And my whole message is, I set myself apart. Why take hormones if you can make them? Figure out why you're not making them. Because ultimately down the line, if you do take testosterone, many times you get a wonderful new sense of life because testosterone for men is everything. If you have low testosterone, you're a man, you're going to be depressed, angry, irritable, passive, no libido, no energy. I mean, it's so tied into that. It's so easy, just take testosterone. However, it's a little more complicated, but much healthier for longevity and happiness and fulfillment is to make your testosterone. How do you make it? That's more complicated because what you've got to do is you've got to have the right behaviors, you've got to have the right nutrition, you've got to have the right cleansing. Then your body will make it, but you're doing it. Never in history have people taken hormones. It's still very short-term research, long-term research. We already know long-term research shows that because they've been giving women hormones since the 50s. They already know the hormones they're giving women since the 50s causes cancer. That's your prescribed hormones from your doctor. Now you get your bioidentical hormones. There's no long-term research on that. And definitely there's no long-term research on men taking testosterone. I happen to know the guy who's in all the ads back about 10 years ago, you know, the guy who's 70 years old and looks like Superman. He's in all the ads. He died of cancer. He was taking steroids. To put it simply, when you take a hormone, your body stops making it. A, if you have low hormones, there's a reason you have low hormones. You have adrenal burnout. You have brain dysfunction. So what you want to do is improve brain function and heal adrenals and often inhibited gut function. Those are the things that are going to keep you alive. And you're just masking it by taking hormones. Now, that's somebody's choice. That's a doctor's want to give it out. That's their prerogative. People choose. I have a different approach, and my approach is make them. And, you know, I'm 65 years old. I've got my testosterone levels are 25% higher than when I was a young man. I can have sex every day. I don't have sex every day. One of the techniques for keeping your testosterone levels at peak levels is not having sex every day. Not that you can't. If you want, you can. As long as you feel like you're ready to have it every day, that's good. At 65, I want to keep them up. My level's up very high. The Japanese did the research, and they show that if you're celibate for 6 days, on the seventh day, your testosterone levels double, literally double. And then they stay up if you're celibate. I'm not celibate. I have sex at least once a week. And, of course, if I want to have it more often, that's fine. I think as you get older, you have many more things to bring you fulfillment. I've got grandkids. I got a wife. I got travel. I got work. I got all these things. And my wife's 67, you know. Often for women, their libido does shrink a bit for some women, not all women. But I'm very happy having sex once a week. It's very fulfilling for me. The key to it is, do you have your drive? Do you have your motivation? Do you have your happiness? All that stuff for men has to do with keeping their testosterone levels at the peak level for them. And of course, every man is different. Every woman is different. Our hormones are different. But the reality is we can make them. We just need the right communication skills. We need the right balance. We need the right nutrition. We need the right use of sexuality. If you're married and you're having sex every day, then you lose interest in sex all the time. Try doing it, you know, something in between. You know, fasting is like one of the best things. I mean, when you fast for a day of food, food tastes like $1 million the next day. If your sex life is becoming a little boring, try going without sex, but don't masturbate. That's the thing for men. If you masturbate, either you're not going to build up the desire to have sex and the hunger for it. And that's psychological, but on a biological level, we've got these things called receptor sites. And if we're overstimulating them, they become desensitized, and then things are not as exciting and as stimulating as happy. You know, you could have sex 3 times a week, and it becomes kind of boring. It's a nice release. It feels good. But, you know, you have it, suddenly you have it where it feels like that's memorable. I'll never forget that. That was the best. Well, that's what you can have if you fast a little bit when it comes to sex. But again, I would never do it as a rule. If I'm on a vacation, I'll have sex every day. You know, this. So this. But then too much of that and too much of anything desensitizes after a while, and we lose that big bang feeling that you get when you haven't had it in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love some of the topics we're covering here. John, I wanted to ask you, because I know I heard this or saw this actually in one of your videos that you do on your site. You've actually reversed Parkinson's symptoms that you had a few years back. Can you talk about how you did that exactly, what the protocol was, and sort of some of the supplementation you've been using to keep it at bay?
Yeah, well, so 16 years ago, I had early stage Parkinson's. I want to emphasize early stage, the shaking. I could still talk fine. I could walk fine, but the shaking was there, involuntary shaking when I focused. And that's the first stage of it. And I was able to reverse that. I've helped many people do that, helped many people who are more progressed, you know, at least not get worse and get a little better. So the whole idea here is I would not suggest following anything I say to reverse Parkinson's. What I'm talking about here is what happened as a result of my doing the regimen that I did, which is what helped reverse Parkinson's for me was to create optimal dopamine function in the brain. Optimal dopamine function in the brain. I wrote a whole book on that called Staying Focused in a Hyper World, Natural Solutions for Memory, Brain Performance, and ADHD. All of those tend to be tied in together, and they all have to do with a condition that's almost rampant in America, which is called inhibited dopamine function. Now, inhibited dopamine function, there are over 100,000, you know, studies that focus on how inhibited dopamine function online. These studies are online at PubMed. What happens is that it is linked to so many of our problems that we experience today. So the idea of what I did for Parkinson's was interesting, is when I reversed my Parkinson's, I also eliminated my ADD-type symptoms. And ADD-type symptoms are, again, misunderstood, because attention deficit, there's no attention deficit in ADD people. It's attention regulation. You take a kid who can't focus on his teacher, put him on a video game, and he has all the attention in the world. So this is a dysregulation of dopamine in the brain. You know, you see a naked woman walk by, she's going to get 100% of your attention. You see your wife walk by after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of marriage, you hardly notice. What's happening is you're not able to generate that same level of excitement of dopamine unless the situation is new. And so what we want to do is undesensitize our brain. That happens in our relationships and in our lives. We get bored in our lives. We get bored at our jobs. We get bored in our marriages and whatever. So we have to create all this excitement as opposed to having a brain that doesn't get bored. And so that's one of the symptoms of ADD, is a boredom. But it can go the other way in certain people's brains, where they become compulsive. They have to repeat the same thing. They become, in a sense, addicted to routine, to order, to control. There's the type that I am. My type was addicted to newness and stimulation and get excited. It's new and then get bored, move on to something else. Most creative people are that way, and we have a difficult finishing things. Now, I don't have that anymore. I still like new things, but I can finish it. I'm organized. You know, I have more of that. I used to not have that. Also, I'd read books. If it wasn't super interesting, I'd just get really tired, as opposed to having energy to do practically anything. And of course, I still have my preferences. Then there's the hyperactive type. You know, they're sort of restless. You know, they have to always be doing something. They don't know how to relax their brain and so forth. For women, they feel that condition. They're really overwhelmed. They're busy, 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 busy. This is just a form of ADD. And then there's the hypersensitive. Actually, any state which is hyper, hyper bored, hyper stimulated, hyper overwhelmed, hyper controlling, all of that hyperness is due to a compensation in the brain that occurs when we have inhibited dopamine function. Parkinson's is extreme inhibited dopamine function. Literally, the neurons have died. that produce enough dopamine for you, so you have this inhibited dopamine function. So you're not utilizing the dopamine your brain is making. Ironically, you're actually making a lot of dopamine when you have Parkinson's. Your brain's just not utilizing it. So that's why I call it inhibited dopamine function. Sometimes we're not making the dopamine. Other times we're not utilizing the dopamine. And that's putting it simply. The brain's very complicated. But having, you know, that condition, when I reversed my Parkinson's, I found my ADD went away. I found my performance improved. I found my anxiety went away. You know, all these things happened because I had better brain function. That then led to, you know, learning how to, you know, boost my testosterone and so forth with herbs like Tongkat Ali and by fasting and so forth. But one of the basic things that help your brain from ever degenerating is lithium orotate. Now, lithium is something that doctors, psychiatrists prescribe for manic depressives. They prescribe too much. They give you a toxic form of lithium. It's called lithium carbonate is what they give. And for it to work, and it does work, it's just they have to give you 50 to 100 times the dose that your body requires. And anything that you take in 50 times the dose your body requires will become toxic. In this case, what it does is the lithium attacks the, if it's too much, it will attack the thyroid. And so your thyroid gland, your metabolism gets thrown off. You feel low energy and all kinds of side effects. That's if you're taking 50 times the dose. Well, you know, you take 50 times the dose of any good thing, you're going to have terrible side effects. So that's why I have to say that, because people are so terrorized. They go, oh, well, lithium, that's for crazy people. No, it's for everybody. Everybody's brain requires it. Just crazy people often have super brains and require a little bit more. You know, the people who graduate from Stanford and Harvard, whose brains are busier, generally speak, than most people's, they have the highest risk of suicide and psychosis. It's just simply when your brain is really busy, it produces more what's called oxidative stress, more free radicals, is another way of understanding it. And that can cause problems in the brain. Well, that's all neutralized to a great extent by just a little dose of lithium, you know, 5 milligrams a day. And if you're under a lot of stress, or you have a super brain, you might need 25 milligrams, but not 500 milligrams. Okay, so that's the difference. So you take a moderate dose of lithium orotate. That was a big part of it. There's another nutritional aspect of the reverse Parkinson's is something called NADH. Now, NADH is a substance your body's supposed to make, but we make much, much less of it as we're getting older. So this is particularly helpful for people as they're getting older, or for anybody who's having, you know, basically any of these brain conditions. Is NADH is in simple terms is biological hydrogen, which allows your cells, every one of your trillions of cells, to absorb more oxygen to produce energy. So NADH is really a very powerful thing. That's what I did. I took IV drips of NADH and IV drips of amino acids, basically digested proteins, and that was able to rebuild the brain. The brain needs these what's called amino acid peptides to make dopamine, as well as serotonin and GABA. So then I was getting these IV drips. The symptoms went away, but it would come back. Symptoms would go away, it would come back after 3 months. So I figured out a way to sustain it. And that's by taking one of the best proteins for the brain is dairy products. The problem is dairy products, pasteurized or don't work. It has to be like raw or undenatured is what it's called. And just take the whey protein, casein protein. You take the whey and the casein, grass-fed, has to be not heat processed. Low heat process just for a few seconds is okay. That's undenatured. Then what happens is now those proteins need to be digested. But anybody with brain problems has got gut problems. Anybody with gut problems has digestive problems. So you really can't get your proteins out of it. And people can't handle dairy because they can't digest it. It's not like people in the past couldn't do it. Of course they could. People have lived on cows, you know, in India. They were worshipped because they had so many good nutrients in it. But anyway, to simplify it down, what I figured out is you take these casein proteins, the two types of proteins, balance them from the cow in the way a human mother would produce it, and a little bit more casein for men, a little bit more whey protein for women. You take those two proteins, which are in mother's milk, balance it for humans because you're getting it from cows, undenatured, not heat processed, add enzymes to it and minerals to it and a few other cofactors, and you got a little powder. And you take the powder, this is all powder spray dried, and you add water, room temperature, don't put ice in it, don't put anything in it. There could be a few other things in it, but basically let the powder be there and let it sit for 40 minutes. Now you let it sit for 40 minutes, what happens is it bubbles. And when it's bubbling, it's digesting it for you because your body can't digest it. You have any brain problems, your brain is not getting the proteins, the peptides it needs. So what you get is these pre-digested proteins, which are called peptides, and you drink that. After 40 minutes, you just shake it up or blend it up at that point, make it nice, smooth, and drink it. It is just goes right to the brain. It's fantastic. So you get these, you know, important minerals for the brain. I've identified five, which are really important. There's zinc. Everybody knows zinc is like so important for the brain. And often why boys have more ADD problems is because they make, you know, 10 times more, 10, 20, 30 times more testosterone than girls. And testosterone, you use up your zinc when you make testosterone, so boys can be easily low in zinc. Zinc is necessary for every cell in your brain to work. It is the basic thing that allows the functioning of brain cells. And when you don't have zinc in your brains, you have these things called zinc receptors. If you're not getting enough zinc in your brain, then the mercury that we're all being exposed to all the time binds with those zinc receptor sites. The brain can't tell the difference between mercury and zinc. So it absorbs the mercury and inhibits those brain cells from functioning properly. So that's a big reason boys have more problems. So we need a little bit more zinc. So I got zinc orotate. Now, orotate is what lithium is bonded to. Lithium orotate, orotic acid, is from mother's milk. It delivers the minerals right into the brain, crosses the blood-brain barrier. Zinc orotate, so great for the brain. Magnesium and calcium are necessary for lithium to do its job in the brain. Calcium stimulates the dopamine. Magnesium stimulates the serotonin. You also need potassium to hydrate those brain cells, to reestablish that balance. So all those minerals bonded to orotic acid, something I call super minerals, combined with all of the trace minerals that your body requires anyway. And it's a wonderful mineral product that I developed for my brain, took away my Parkinson's, along with this superfood shake, which you have to let it sit for 40 minutes to get the full bang from it. And it does it. Now, I also take other supplements. I change my stack from time to time, but that's my basic, along with NADH. And it was only about a year ago that I discovered that the guy who invented the NADH product has a superior one that he only sells in Europe, and that the Americans ripped off his copyright, and it's an inferior in my experience and what he says. So basically, you take NADH, but you got to get the right dose. You know, they give you a 5 milligram lozenges. It should be 20 milligrams, and you got to increase the dose to like 40 in the morning, 40 in the afternoon to get the really big bang for the brain. Then you need to take L-tyrosine. That's the precursor for dopamine, because you're going to knock up your dopamine levels really high when you take NADH. It's proven. Right within 15 minutes, your dopamine levels will start to increase. The dopamine increases with NADH, but that can use up your tyrosine. So you need to supplement with supplement tyrosine, 1,000 milligrams for every 40 milligrams of NADH, and 100 milligrams of 5-HTP. Tyrosine uses the same enzymes as 5-HTP, which creates your serotonin. So you always want to keep that balance going, but the most important part of that is the tyrosine for guys. Women particularly need to get a little extra 5-HTP in there, 1,000 milligrams of tyrosine to make the dopamine, 100 milligrams of 5-HTP to balance it with serotonin. And that goes along, and that will just give you a lift. I had a guy in my seminar, I do a meditation seminar where I teach, these are meditation supplements as well. And he came all the way from Europe, he was having jet lag, boom, it was gone. He couldn't believe it with the NADH. You know, if you've got plenty of energy already, you may not notice such a difference, but people with low energy, tyrosine, NADH, 5-HTP, kabang. Get your brain going. A grapeseed extract is another supplement that I take, which is gives you focus. If ever my mind's wandering or I'm not like right on it, you know, if I'm reading a book and I'm having to repeat a sentence, boom, I'll just go take some grapeseed extract. It's an antioxidant for the brain. It will create more focus. So those are some of the good supplements I talk about. And of course, everybody needs omega-3. Omega-3 is so important for the brain. And people are already doing different kinds. I feel I found a company that produces the best. It's called Vectomega. These are all at my website, by the way. The information's there. I give little 10-minute videos on all these different things so people can really know how to use them if they really need to use them. But omega-3, they find that if it's from the brain of a salmon, if you take salmon brains and the omega-3 from there, and also they have something called phospholipids, it's 50 times more absorbed in your brain than in other omega-3 fish oils and so forth. And that one is really, really good to take one of those every day. It's amazing benefit. You know, one of the things you'll see in the health food stores, what old people will do for their memory, it's the most important one, it's right behind the counter, it's phosphatidylserine. Well, those omega-3s all have phosphatidylserine in it from the salmon brains, or you take a separate supplement with phosphatidylserine. In my superfood shake that I formulated, there's also phosphatidylserine in there. It's so important for brain function and for memory. Omega-3s are there from the flaxseed, and then there's also the vitamin C is so important as an antioxidant for your brain. Vitamin C itself prevents brain shrinkage if you do enough. Certainly there's not enough in my shake for everything, but there's a good amount of vitamin C that comes from a natural source, which is goji berries are so great for the brain, along with from India, amla berries, amalak fruit. That also has super high vitamin C. I learned about amalak because I was a meditator in India for over 20 years. 9 years as a celibate monk, but I've been there 27 times. And that was one of the secrets for long-term meditators, to keep your brain from overheating, over-oxidizing, basically. You would take these high doses of amalak, which has the high vitamin C and the antioxidants. So these are some of the things that are in my book, Staying Focused. I know I went through them pretty fast.
Yeah, no, there's a lot there, John. I appreciate you kind of going through it all. And, man, I feel like we could talk about this for hours. I know we got to kind of wrap things up in a moment. But really quickly, do you think this, your protocol or something similar to it, has the potential to basically reverse all Parkinson's, maybe in the right dosages and the right kind of interventions in different types of people? Like, does more research need to be done in this? I mean, because what you've done already is remarkable with reversing your own symptoms of it. But like you said, it was kind of the early pre-Parkinson's symptoms. Like, where do you think the next step is with heading in this kind of direction?
It's getting more and more common, Parkinson's, let's put it that way. And dementia certainly is becoming way, way more common. You live long, you're going to get dementia or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. This is what seems to be the direction. Half the people over 80, if you're 80 or above, half of those people are already with Alzheimer's. And that's really not good. Mm-hmm. This is a huge crisis. And they're all brain problems, and they all are linked to gut problems. And I did go over my brain protocols, relationship protocols, a little bit on fasting protocols, but also gut health is so, so important. And that may be preventing it all. And that is, I found something from Switzerland called Bravo. It's a Bravo. You can make it as a homemade yogurt. You can take capsules in it. You can also do a non-dairy Bravo. But it has 43 different strains of probiotics. You know, if you go to the health food store, you'll see everybody's touting, you know, this billions and billions of probiotics, but actually there's just three probiotics and there's just a lot of it. So rather than, you know, the quantity, what you're looking for is diversity. And that's really, really a key thing. And they're finding that reverses autism, which is, you know, ultimately the symptoms of autism are very similar to autism. I mean, Alzheimer's is amyloid plaque builds up in the brain. Well, also with autistic kids, amyloid plaque builds up in the brain. It's just that they're getting it at the beginning of life, the Alzheimer's patients getting it at the end. So there's a lot to do with preventing that with good nutrition and support. When it comes to Parkinson's, same thing. However, it's a lot easier to reverse than Alzheimer's. And certainly there's going to be stages of Parkinson's where you're not going to get full reversal. It's just not going to happen that I know of. But long before you get to that place where it's really, really severe, and Dr. Hinz, H-I-N-Z, has a similar protocol to what I recommend. And once somebody is really sort of in the case of Parkinson's, they need to be talking to a doctor to adjust their doses of natural supplements. But Dr. Hinz has trained hundreds of doctors around the country who are doing a protocol very similar to mine. I personally feel mine is superior. But when somebody is already in the hands of doctors, you're going to have to get them to go off of their Parkinson's medication for these supplements to work. So I always recommend going with the help of one of these doctors trained by Dr. Hinz, H-I-N-Z. The information on him, again, is at my website. There's a health blog. So you go to a list of all the health conditions people have. You go to the Parkinson's. It gives my solutions. Plus, it gives the contact information for Dr. Hinz and his different doctors. They help to guide people through, because, you know, a lot of people with Parkinson's, they can't figure this out. You know, it's a little complicated. But basically, you take NADH, tyrosine, 5-HTP, and cysteine, 4,000 milligrams of cysteine, and that's their protocol. Actually, they leave out the NADH. With the NADH, you get superior benefits, but they give you high doses of tyrosine, 5-HTP, cysteine, and L-DOPA. So rather than NADH, they're using the high levels of L-DOPA, which is also preferable depending upon how much progressed your Parkinson's is. And what they'll do is saliva tests of your dopamine, serotonin, and GABA to determine how much L-DOPA you should be taking from the Makuna bean rather than what's prescribed. What's prescribed is deadly. It should be against the law. It's a crime against humanity. Long before they got these drugs going, they used to use L-DOPA. The problem with just using L-DOPA from Makuna bean, if you don't use the cofactors, people get nauseous. So rather than giving the cofactors get nauseous, because they didn't know, they invented this drug, and this drug inhibits B6 function in the body, and so your brain is inhibited from making any of the brain chemicals. You need to have the B vitamins as well to make brain chemicals. My superfood shake, for example, has all the B vitamins in it. But even with that, I recommend for people with any kind of stress in their life to be doing a good full-spectrum B vitamin time release. So I give recommendations of companies that have the time-release B vitamins so you're not just peeing it out right away. So, yeah, there's great doctors who do know about that for people that aren't yet capable of figuring this stuff, you know, up, going out and buying the supplements and doing it themselves and whatever. So I have that list of all the supplements I just mentioned for optimal brain function, not to cure Parkinson's. That's for doctors to do, but to create optimal brain function, which should work for anybody. But you can't do those supplements if you're doing the Parkinson's drug. That's one of the things you don't want to do because of it messes with your brain. So if you take good stuff, your brain doesn't work well. That's the problem. If you're taking a blood thinner because your blood's too thick and you do something natural to thin your blood because your blood's normally a certain thinness and you take a blood thinner, then you go too thin. And you'll start bruising up and you know you've just made a big mistake. So drugs don't always mix with natural supplements. So when people are doing drugs, they should check with their doctor or get a holistic doctor who understands nutritional supplementation as the answer rather than taking drugs, which are always toxic to the body.
John, it's been a fascinating interview, man. Is there just a last send-off message you'd like to leave to our audience about Beyond Mars and Venus, some of the protocols you talked about, health-related, anything really, and then also a link you'd like to send our listeners to check out more about your work?
Part of the theme I was talking about today is we need to balance the quality of our relationships. They are dependent on our nutrition, but our nutrition to be stimulated is dependent upon the quality of our relationships. They're both highly important. We need to recognize that our body's health is also dependent on constantly doing things that will help prevent the toxicity of our environment from getting the best of us. So that's another part of our health that we need to understand. And, you know, the foundation of my success is that I have a ground place where I can go to super non-stress and expansive consciousness and creativity, and that is through meditation. We didn't touch on that, but I think that everybody could benefit from doing a meditation practice every day, making it a discipline and doing it. The challenge is finding the right one for you, and what I found is that the more advanced you are in consciousness, the more you have this sort of androgyny of psychology, you have this yin-yang aspect. The old forms of meditation are kind of boring and flat for people, and they can't stay disciplined enough to continue doing them because it's like staying in first grade over and over and over and over rather than getting into junior high school or college. So I want to invite people as well to attend my meditation classes to learn what I feel is a more advanced meditation that's actually challenging and exciting for people. And everybody, even if you're a beginner, you get amazing results. You just have to upgrade your techniques sometimes to that which is you're able to respond to in a positive way. If you were doing mathematics and just addition and subtraction over and over and over, you get bored after a while. You still need to learn those basics. They're still useful, but you're doing higher math, algebra, calculus, and so forth. If you're smarter, you need to use those. Otherwise, you'd be bored in class. You can't stay in third grade all the time. So what I think is that everybody, pretty much in the independent world, more of a world where people are individualized, they can do these higher techniques. I learned them studying in Tibet and various places. They're secret techniques that only the very advanced meditators learn. I find that almost everybody can do it, at least in America, not in some places around the world where they're not yet individualized as individuals. But here, most people can do it. and learn it very quickly. So that's at my meditation classes. I do relationship classes. I want people to know about that, for men only, for women only, for I call it soulmate seminar, for people to come to learn about men and women in the room. Some are married, some are not. And those are available to people. I have my health classes online. They're free. You know, there's little blogs for every single health condition, and I invite people to come listen to that. It's been such a pleasure to be on the show, to contact me, and my website basically is themarsvenus.com. You'll see me with a younger woman on there. That's not my wife. That's my daughter, one of my daughters. People always think, gee, married young. I have a very young woman. No, that's she teaches for women a whole host of things, but actually I think more men watch her videos because men want to know how women think. We're all curious. We all want to have better relationships. We just get frustrated when we don't know how, and this is the resource to help you sort of unravel the mysteries of keeping the passion alive in relationships so that we can have a lasting love in our lives.
Awesome. Thanks again, John, for coming on. Really appreciate it, and I know our guys are going to love this one. So take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
On a final note, if you're interested in checking out John's latest book, go to elitemanmagazine.com/Mars, and this will take you right to his Amazon page where you can get Beyond Mars and Venus, and actually all of his other books as well, because they're listed right under, including the book he mentioned, Staying Focused in a Hyper World, which is something I'm really interested in as well, and will probably be ordering myself. As always, the show notes are listed on the website as well, elitemanmagazine.com, or if you're in iTunes, directly in the iTunes show notes. So check out the links. You can click on any one of those links or go to elitemanmagazine.com/Mars to check out the books mentioned in today's episode. Take care, guys, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.